Well, good morning again. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, you can't fall asleep yet. We've just gotten started. It has been a journey to get to you, Coolwater Christian Church, and it has been a journey for you to get to this point. And here we meet on this Sunday at the crossroads. The crossroads of something ending and something beginning. And I have to say, it is good to be here. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Hear now our scripture from this morning from the book of Philemon. I've been practicing this all week, so say this with me. Philemon.
Philemon.
I might say this two or three different ways, but so do most preachers all around the country, so we can't get it wrong as long as we say it loud and confident. From the book of Philemon, chapter 1, verses 4 through 7, listen for God to speak. Every time your name comes up in my prayers, I say, "Oh, thank you, God." I keep hearing of the love and faith you have for the Master Jesus, which brims over to other believers. And I keep praying that this faith we hold in common keeps showing up in the good things we do, and that people recognize Christ in all of it. Friend, you have no idea how good your love makes me feel. Doubly so when I see your hospitality to fellow believers. The word of God for the people of God. Well, ready or not, we are here. And I don't know about you, but this year has flown by for me. It feels like not too long ago, I was sitting in a seat at the Cubs Stadium in Chicago on vacation. And I was there, and it was a great game, which has been rare for the Cubs in the last few years. I was caught up in the fourth or fifth inning, and I almost didn't notice when my phone started to buzz on my lap. I did look down, though, and I saw this weird 602 number calling me. Having just recently released my papers into search and call, and having a voicemail that was not working right at the time, I rushed down the stairs to the second level, and I answered my phone and plugged my ear so I could hear, and I heard, "Katie? Hi, this is Bruce from Coolwater Christian Church." Before I could get another word out, the Cubs had done something right. So there was screaming and cheering and celebration and the drowning out of our conversation. Eventually, I got to a place where I could continue the conversation. And that, my friends, was the first conversation we entered into together as pastor and church. A conversation that was already surrounded by celebration and joy and baseball. That was the first step we took together, but it is certainly not the last. And that was not the first time I heard of you, Coolwater Christian Church. I'm not sure you know how loved you are, so let me tell you. The first time I heard of you through many, many, many conversations through so many people was actually back in March. I was sitting with someone, and I was sipping on a beer, and they told me about you. And they said, "You need to keep your eye on them." And from that moment to now, God was working, clearly working through the saints of the church, the beloved people of this congregation and those that love you beyond these walls to bring us to where we are today. From hour-long conversations in my office in Kansas City, where people wandered in to talk to me about you, to phone calls with people throughout the denomination, to short conversations at General Assembly, to conversations with other regional ministers who were trying to recruit me to them, they told me, once I told them about you, "Oh no, never mind. That is where you belong. And they belong with you." God has been in this from the beginning. And God has not only been in this story of call, but he has also been in your story individually, bringing you where you are today. Somewhere along the line, you drank a cup of coffee with someone, or you smiled at someone, or you said yes to someone when you were first invited to this church. God was here in the laying of the bricks of this building, to the celebration of weddings in these walls, to the birth of new babies who I see right back there. God was here last week as we had to say goodbye to someone we loved so. God has been in every step of the journey, and God will be in every step as we move forward together. Our journeys, our stories of how we get from one place in life to another, always start with our relationships, with people who are speaking prophetic truth to us, who are moving with the Spirit, nudging us along to be a little bit closer to where God wants us to be, just as Paul did over and over again. Philemon is a short book. Have you ever heard of it before? Happy First Sunday. It is one of the shortest books, to be exact, and this might be perhaps one of the shortest scriptures you've heard in a while, but this will not be one of the shortest sermons you've ever heard, so I'm sorry. You might have never heard of Philemon. You might have blown right past it in the Bible, but I promise that this book, nestled between Titus and Hebrews, packs a punch of meaning in one chapter and 25 verses. This is one of Paul's undisputed letters, meaning that we know he is the author from the way it was composed. It was composed in a very pastoral fashion, a way that we know that this letter is founded on relationships of someone that Paul knew and cared about. He cared about what he was writing about, too, and it's clear when Paul writes to Philemon, a leader who is hosting a church in his house, sound familiar? Asking him to receive Onesimus, who was once a slave in the house, back again. Onesimus fled this house, and he had been traveling with Paul because he had been treated so badly there. But it was now time for him to go back home. And so Paul is writing, appealing to Philemon, asking him on the basis of their shared relationship in Christ to receive Onesimus back, but to treat him better because they have been transformed. So this is the framework, the overview of this letter. But we are only looking at four verses this morning. Four verses in which Paul stops before he moves on to address this sticky and complicated social situation, where he first gives thanks. Have you ever noticed that in Paul's letters, his general flow is always to say, "Hi, how are you? Great to talk to you." And then he stops and gives thanks. He stops before he does anything else and gives thanks for what has already been done, already been given, for what is already there. And it is the season for Thanksgiving, is it not? Despite what the corner store might say, and despite what the man in the red suit sitting in the mall might say, and despite the ads upon ads upon ads, folks, it is not yet Christmas. Every year, some of you might resonate with this, I rant and I ramble, many of you have heard this already, and protest buying Christmas decorations before Thanksgiving is over. Moving through stores, I grumble under my breath that before we have even gotten to one holiday, there's already decorations out for the next, and sometimes even decorations out before that. This year, I saw decorations for Christmas before we were through with Halloween, forgetting completely that there was Thanksgiving in there somewhere. See, I'm a firm believer that there is something important, something sacred, and something holy about living into a moment, as Paul did. As Paul wrote, the world around him was chaotic. Things were moving a mile a minute in his life, and from what we know, he was in a just awful situation when he wrote these words of thanks. He was imprisoned as he wrote this letter. And the best assumption is that he was someplace in Rome, and yet despite being in prison, surrounded with a not knowing of what's going to happen next, or even if he was going to survive, he was there scratching out these words on behalf of his friend, these words of thanks to God. And much like Paul, we are here, standing at the crossroads while life is swirling around us a mile a minute. Standing at the new beginning of all that is to come with one foot starting down the path and one eye looking at all that has been behind us. We are here on this Thanksgiving Sunday recognizing that Thanksgiving is not an easy place to be right now. As wars are raging in the world around us, as doors are being shut on those in need, as people are acting out in fear of the other, as bombs are being set off, as guns are killing, as hate is being preached from so many mouths, it is hard to give thanks. As our brothers and sisters are in need, as children go hungry, as countries are leveled, as people are afraid, and in the meantime, arguments are erupting on social media about a red cup, it is hard to give thanks. I spent Thursday evening downtown at an Arizona Faith Network community discussion. If you're not familiar with the Arizona Faith Network, don't worry, they're fairly new. It's an interfaith group that works together to bring people of faith under the inspiration of God as a bridge to understanding how they can act together in local communities. On Thursday night, they hosted a discussion on what was originally entitled Migrant Rights, but quickly moved to a discussion about everything that was going on in the world. And throughout the stories, one thing that was named over and over again in the ache of what is happening right now was fear. Over and over again, fear was named as the motivating force of acts of hatred. An ASU professor was there, and she spoke up and said, when needs are great, we often get lost in fear-based metaphors, overwhelmed by the needs we encounter in the world, feeling like the need is so great that we cannot possibly give it an appropriate response. And right after she sat down, another man stood up and said, "Yes, but the only way to combat this fear is through love and hope." My friends, the only way we can respond is to preach the gospel of love and hope louder than the gospel of fear. I was listening to NPR this morning on the way in, and there was an Islam expert talking about ISIS, and I had never heard this before, that ISIS has a manifesto, an organizing document of what they believe. And in there, they state that their purpose is to cause chaos. That their purpose is to cause chaos and to polarize people through fear. My friends, the only way we are going to combat this is to preach the gospel of hope and love louder than the gospel of fear. Paul was not writing in fear. He was not responding as if he could not handle the situation he was in. He was writing, knowing that God would not leave him. He was writing with thanksgiving, being equipped with the gospel of love and hope, because he knew that was the answer to his situation. Here we are, standing at the crossroads of something ending and something new beginning, with life swirling around us at a mile a minute. And we must first pause before anything else to give thanks. My friends, I give thanks for you, for all you have done, for the quilts you have made and are making, for the houses you have built, for the prayers you have prayed with those weeping by your side, for all you have provided, for creating a place of refuge, a place of prayer, a place where God speaks to so many, a place where the gospel of hope and love is preached. I am thankful for all we are going to be. As we stand here with hearts overflowing with gratitude, I want to take this moment to name and list a few things that we can look forward to in our future together. We are going to do wonderful things, amazing things, you can quote me on that, things that are going to help change this world and bring the gospel of hope and life and love to life loudly. We are going to love deeply, love everyone, show folks what Jesus really meant when he said, "Love your neighbor." We are going to grow, amen? We are going to grow in ways that we have always dreamt and in ways that we have not yet even imagined. We are going to welcome new people through our doors into our stories, and together we are going to grow with them as God moves us on our journey. We are never going to be alone, and this is important. In an ever-isolating world, we are going to be a strong community, bonded together in the love of Jesus. A community that knows that we don't have to and don't want to live this life alone. A community that knows we are there for one another. We need something, all we need to do is pick up the phone and call one another. Because we are living into this unfinished story of God's love together. Our future is bright. Our journey is clear. And God will lead us every step of the way. But before we take one more step, I invite us to pause, to breathe in this moment, this sacred moment, noticing all we have been blessed with, right here, right now, and say together, oh, thank you, God.